Well, good evening and God bless you. Tonight I'm excited to share God's heart of love and how he wants a personal relationship with each one of us. Love provides an individual attention to every hair on our head, every thought, and every joy we experience. God has prepared a plan for each one of us, each one of our lives, and he makes no mistakes. Do you know intimately his individual plan for your life? And that's what we're going to look at tonight, how we can see that individual plan. That intimate relationship is what eternal life is all about. God has not called us to blind faith, to just accept whatever life has and whatever is going your way, but he's given us an expectation to know him. And the title of my teaching tonight is, I Want to See You. And I think that is probably every heart, every one of our heart's desires, to really see God, to see him in his perfection, to see him in his love and his forgiveness, his care for his people. And I want to share with you, we're going to look at the life of Gideon in the Old Testament. And I think it's a great example of how God so takes care of an individual, especially when he has a plan for him. And he had a plan for each one of us before the foundation of the world. It was in the manifestations tonight that Lena had, that we would be his children. And as a child, we have a lot of rights and privileges, don't we? So we're going to look at the life of Gideon. And would you please turn with me to Judges chapter 6. And I'm going to read most of this account in Judges 6 and 7, because there's a lot of interesting events that happen in Gideon's life and his relationship with the Lord. And at this time, we're looking at Judges chapter 6, the children of Israel were under the rule of the Midianites for 7 years. They were so cruel, the Israelites hid in mountains, caves, and strongholds. The Midianites destroyed their crops, took their livestock, stripped their land bare. Israel was reduced to starvation and cried out to the Lord for help. The children of Israel were promised that they would go into a promised land that God had promised to Abraham, but they were also given instructions to destroy all of the inhabitants of the land, but they did not obey God. So we're going to start in verse 7. The Lord steps in. They cried unto the Lord for help, and he steps in. Verse 7, and I'm going to use the New Living Translation tonight for this reading. When they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. From the prophet, I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. But you have not listened to me. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of the Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of the winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Now, this is his first encounter with the Lord, and with an angel. And the first, and God's view of him was, Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. That's got to strike a little interest in. It's like, whoa, really? Well, what was Gideon's response? Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Had the Lord really done that? No. Their disobedience caused that. Verse 14, then the Lord turned to him and said, go with strength you have, go with the strength you have, and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. So if God was sending him, do you think he had some strength? Sure. And God's view of him was, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. And I think about our lives. What has God called us? From the very beginning, he didn't call us. He didn't even place us as robots. He placed us as children, his children, and that he would be a father to us. And he gave us power, and he said that he would never leave us or forsake us. How many times does he say that? Maybe it's time we believe it. Mm-hmm. Just like maybe it's time we believe that he loves me. You know, I think that was such a great song. But it's time. It's God gave us the Old Testament for our understanding, so that we can know his relationship to us and we can see, and part of this is, I want to see you, Lord. We can see a man. This isn't just words on the book. A man that received strength and that followed God, had a relationship with God. Verse 15, but Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest of the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. The Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. This war was to him, God set that picture, that it's not these huge, and we'll see here, how big this tribe was, that they were fighting. God put a picture for him. It's going to be like you just fighting one person. Here, put your Duke's best. One person. It's not like this horde of people. That's what his vision, he wanted him to see. Wasn't that wonderful? Gideon replied, if you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it is really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you. So he had the respect to offer, make an offering to the Lord, because that was what was necessary. But he said, if it's truly you, show me. Give me a sign. And how many times do we say that? Lord, you know, if you just show me. But I want to see. When I was 19 years old, I went to Europe with my sister, and I had one question, and I wanted to know the truth. And I said to God one night, I had a little Bible, and I started reading Matthew, and it had all these begats and begots, and I couldn't understand a thing. I never got past the first probably 35 verses. And I said, God, show me the truth. And I was over in Europe for 6 months, and I returned, and my dad had a letter from a friend of ours a family friend who George actually played basketball with, and he got witnessed to in Northern California the same time I was, had just, about the time I had asked God to show me the truth, and he took a Bible class, and after that he wrote me a letter saying, I think I found what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And it was the timing was impeccable for what I asked God to show me something, and came back 6 months later, but the date on that letter was exactly when I had asked him. And from that time on, I never questioned. I went to Bible study 2 days later, and 46 years later, I'm still following the Word of God and have never had a question about it since. Because I asked God, show me, and we want to see. And each of us has a relationship with him like that. So, but here Gideon, show me a sign. So he went and he prepared, it says in verse 19, Gideon hurried home, he cooked a young goat, and with a basket of flour he baked some bread without yeast. Then carrying the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, he brought them out and presented them to the angel who was under the grape tree. The angel of God said to him, place the meat and the unleavened bread on this rock and pour the broth over it. And Gideon did as he was told. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and bread with the tip of the staff in his hand, and fire flamed from the rock and consumed all he had brought, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. So a staff took the meat and consumed it. There's his sign. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Like, whoa, it is all right, the Lord replied. "Do not be afraid. You will not die." And Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. The altar remained in Ophrah in the land of the clan of Ebiezer to this day. So God provided that sign for him and gave him peace. So now he has his plan. He's supposed to rescue the children of Israel from the Midianites. So verse 25, that night the Lord said to Gideon, "Take the second bull from your father's herd and one that is 7 years old. Pull down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole standing beside him." Asherah pole was a pole with the figure of Asher, a woman goddess. So they were worshiping her. "Take that pole down. Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on this hilltop sanctuary, laying the stones carefully. Sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on the altar, using as fuel the wood of Asherah pole you cut down." So here he has a sign. Did he go around telling all the neighbors, "God talked to me. I can't believe it. God talked to me." How many times do we do that? "Can't believe it. God talked to me." But you know what God expected was for him to obey. He tells him what to do, and so Gideon did it. He didn't have to go around bragging. He just did what the Lord, God had a plan for him, and he was out to do it. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had commanded. But he did it at night because he was afraid of the other members of his father's household and the people of the town. So he did it afraid. Last week I shared how Joyce Meyer has a new book, Do It Afraid. And I got an email from her today. It said over 35,000 women were a part of that night, Women's Night, which is pretty amazing. But God worked with them. He was afraid, so he did it at night. His family didn't appreciate what he was doing, and so he did it so they wouldn't stop him. He did it at night. Early the next morning, as the people of the town began to stir, someone discovered that the altar of Baal had been broken down and that Asherah pole beside it had been cut down. In their place, a new altar had been built, and on it were the remains of the bull that had been sacrificed. The people said to each other, "Who did this?" And after asking around and making a careful search, they learned that it was Gideon, the son of Joash. "Bring out your son," the men of the town demanded of Joash. "He must die for destroying the altar of Baal and for cutting down the Asherah pole." But Joash shouted to the crowd that confronted him, "Why are you defending Baal? Will you argue his case? Whoever pleads this case will be put to death by morning. If Baal truly is a god, let him defend himself and destroy the one who broke down his altar." Isn't that great logic? Mm-hmm. So if it's Baal's, why doesn't he take care of it? Why should we do the dirty work? And obviously Joash started watching Gideon and seeing the changes. So he could have said, "Yeah, here, take my son," but he protected him. From then on, Gideon was called Jerubbaal, which means "let Baal defend himself," because he broke down Baal's altar. You know, how can you worship a golden image or an image that was made with clay or wood or anything? Let those images protect. You know, you might see some people change their minds. But soon afterward, the armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east formed an alliance against Israel and crossed the Jordan, camping in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with power. He blew a ram's horn as a call to arms, and the men of the clan of Abiezer came to him. He also sent messengers throughout Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, summoning their warriors, and all of them responded. So part of this plan was that Gideon had to have some respect. So everyone started seeing, look what he did. He destroyed those idols and the idol, and now people had respect. And God clothed him with the spirit and power. Then Gideon said to God, if you are truly going to use me to rescue Israel as you promised, prove it to me in this way. Now he's asking for another sign. And I love it because he wasn't afraid to communicate with God. He still wasn't completely confident that he had. You know, in Joshua, the word says, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. All of us have fear. We're not supposed to, because we want to see what's going on, and we see what's going on through the Word of God. So we don't fear evil. Joyce Meyer makes a statement, when fear knocks on your door, answer with faith. So faith, we destroy fear with faith. We believe the things that God says, that and they will come to pass. When Gideon said, okay, so he says, I've got to ask you one more thing. Prove to me in this way. I will put a wool fleece on the threshing floor tonight. If the fleece is wet with dew in the morning, put the ground in, but the ground is dry, then I will know that you are going to help me rescue Israel as you promised. And that is just what happened. When Gideon got up early the next morning, he squeezed the fleece and wrung out the whole bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, please don't be angry with me, but let me make one more request. Let me use the fleece for one more test. This time, let the fleece remain dry while the ground around it is wet with dew. So that night, God did as Gideon asked. The fleece was dry in the morning, but the ground was covered with dew. So Jerubbaal, which that is Gideon, and his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Herod. And the armies of the Midianites were north of them in the valley near the hill of Morah. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. So now he actually has 32,000 men. And God says, this is too many. So he tells him to tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid, they may leave this mountain. And so 22,000 of them went, and leaving 10,000 who were willing to fight. Verse 4 says, but the Lord told Gideon, there are still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not. When Gideon took the warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. Only 300 of the men drank with their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. So how many people do you think God needed? So, well, the Lord said to Gideon, with these 300, he chose the ones, 300 men, because he only needed a few. I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. The reason he eliminated all these men, because he didn't want them to brag that in their own strength, because of this army, they were going to do it. But they had to see. It had to be God. So Gideon collected the provisions and ram's horn of the other warriors and sent them home. But he kept the 300 men with him. And this is a part I love. The Midian camp was in the valley just below Gideon. Gideon. That night the Lord said, get up, go down into the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp and with your servant Purah, listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged. Then you will be eager to attack. See, God knows our thoughts. He knows our beginnings. He knows our end. And he has that intimacy with us that he knows when we're not sure of things. So he can put people in our path so that we can be strong in knowing that we are his children and that we know the plan for him. But he said, I want you to go there and listen, and you will be encouraged, and then you'll be ready to attack. And so Gideon took Purah and went down to the edge of the enemy camp. And the armies of Midian Amalek and the people of the east had settled in the valley like a swarm of locusts. Locusts don't swarm in very small swarms. It's a lot, enough to destroy everything that's around. Their camels were like grains of sand on the seashore. That's a lot of camels. Too many to count. Gideon crept up just as a man was telling his companion about a dream. The man said, I have this dream, and in my dream a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat. His companion answered, your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over Midian and all its allies. Mm-hmm. So God had him there to hear about this dream and interpretation of the dream so that he would be encouraged to and eager to attack. And God places people in our path, situations in our path, to bless us and to encourage us so that we can do the things that he wants us to do. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. So his companion answered, When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed and worshipped the Lord. Then he returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, get up, for the Lord hath given victory over the Midianites. And he split up the men. He told them to keep their eyes on him, and he gave them a signal. And in verse 18, it says, as soon as I and those with me blow the ram's horn, blow your horns too, all around the entire camp, and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. And it was midnight, and they were all surrounded. They were ready to blow. Verse 20, then all three groups blew their horns and broke their jars. They held the blazing torches in their left hands and the horns in their right hands. They all shouted, a sword for the Lord and Gideon. Each man stood his position around the camp and watched as the Midianites rushed around in a panic, shouting as they ran to escape. When the 300 Israelites blew their ram's horn, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight each other with their swords. Oh, those who were not killed fled the places as far away as Beth Shittah near Zerach, and the border of Abel Mehola near Tabith. So the enemies, who were more than locusts, basically, for the most part, killed themselves. The rest of the army, the 300 men of Israelites, went and ran after those that ran away, and eventually they captured the kings of the different tribes, and the victory was won. The Midianites were destroyed. Because Gideon followed God, he got the strength that he needed. He kept his eyes on the Lord. And that's something that we all need to do. I want to share a few more verses with you. I believe our Heavenly Father wants us to turn our eyes away from ourselves, our challenges, our enemies, our weaknesses, the cares of this world, and focus on our sights on the source of true strength and courage, God Almighty. For he has a plan for all of us. In Jeremiah 29:11, the New King James says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God's will is all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So God individually wants each of us, his plan is for each of us to be children, his children, and to live a prosperous life, a life of hope. A lot of people today don't have hope. They don't even know. They think that they live this life and then that's over. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you have eternal life. The greatest hope in the world, Christ coming back to get us. A plan, God, you know, we all have a plan, and a plan requires many details. If you think about a budget, you've got to know what your expenses are. You have to know what your income is. You can't just say, well, I'm going to live on so much money. There's some detail to that. You have to stop spending the thing on things that aren't necessary if you don't meet your budget. How about building a house? You can't just draw a picture of the roof and the walls. There's a whole lot of construction involved and cornerstones and all that, supports that hold that house. So in our lives, God has so many details. And a lot of details we may not know, but we have a relationship that we can ask Him. Okay, Lord, if you want me to do this, then show me how. My grandsons love Legos, and I buy them these kits that are like 360 little pieces. And it's interesting, I didn't know this at first until they asked me to help them, that in the Lego set, they have step one, two, three. They have a picture of each little piece that goes with it. And that's how, by the end, you have the full structure. Well, if you have one piece wrong, it doesn't quite fit, you go back and see, oh, where did this go? Well, our lives are like that. God, we take one step, and then God's got the next step for us. And we just go knowing that He loves us, and He will always be with us, just as He was with Gideon and working with him. In Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God who works in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." And the Amplified says, "To His satisfaction and delight." He already knows the end. He knows that we are His beloved. He made us that way. And He will continue to work with us for us to be that success. In verse 14, it says, of Philippians 2:14, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." Who are you complaining and disputing with? Mm-hmm. God. Say, "Well, God, no, I'm not sure I can be what you want me to be." Don't argue with God. You're not going to win. He's got a plan that is perfect, and He wants you to be that way. "That you may be blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain nor labored in vain." Do you want to see God at work in your life? He has established an intimate relationship with each one of us. We can walk with Him and talk with Him. We are precious in His sight. He will direct us to each step in His plan He has for us. Learn about Him and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by studying the Scriptures. Speak in tongues much. Spend time talking to Him and ask Him what your assignment is today. Let's live one day at a time seeking His face. So that's what I want to share with you tonight. So we want to see you, Lord. Yeah. That's our goal. Yeah.
Wonderful. You want to close with prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great time that we can look at your word and look at the simplicity, yet all the details that surround the relationship you have with each one of your children. I thank you that you formed the whole world so that we could be your masterpiece. So I thank you, Father, for making your word alive to us, that we can see your face, that we can see the perfection that you have and the perfection we are in Christ. Thank you for a great night for all of us and for your word just sinking into our hearts and that we truly will step out and see your love and grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.